These guys have earnings coming up next week.
Then you've got the labor. I mean, the labor here is tremendous. I mean,
15.3% is the number, which is alarming.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And welcome to the Allstate Skyline Studio here. It is a Tuesday afternoon, and we are socked in with a low cloud cover and fog. And this is the first day, I think, since we've been in the new studios where it's, the fog has almost reached as high as we are here. We can't see very far out the window. John Najarian, luckily, always has a clear view of what's going on, not just here, but on Wall Street as well. And he joins us on most Tuesdays. John, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
I see what you did there, Stephen. Very nice. Great to be with you.
Listen, I'm thinking of you. I'm watching this. I feel like I've seen this show before. So the Democrats go into the White House. They're going to talk about infrastructure. They come out, and you've got Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi saying that we have agreed to a $2 trillion spending bill on infrastructure. And it looks like everyone's holding hands. And I just can't help but think that in the White House, they're listening to that and saying, I'm not sure we're there yet.
Well, that could be. I mean, as you say, we've seen this play out before.
Right. And, the Democrats come out and say they have a deal, and then they kind of handcuff the administration. Now, they said we have a deal, but we're going to have to come back in a few weeks to figure out how to pay for it, which may be the hook. But it seemed to me like Schumer was kind of having his way again on this. And the Dow bounced back about that time. Was that what had an impact on the Dow?
That I'm not sure of. The Dow was, and the market in general, Steve, was soft today, primarily on the back of Google or Alphabet's numbers that came in light, and that stock fell by over $100. Now it's a $1,200 stock, so a $100 drop is quite the same for most others, but still an 8% drop. That's a pretty big drop.
Interesting.
That has weighed on us.
I'm sorry, John, but interesting in that, we talk a lot about tech and social media on the show, and they're saying that their restrictions on YouTube and their efforts to crack down on hate speech had an impact on their revenue. Did I read that correctly?
Yes, you did. Unfortunately, the most vile stuff that gets onto either social media or a media like YouTube is unfortunately very incendiary, and I think a lot of the people that target heavily watched videos, whether they are of extreme athletes doing extreme things, which of course is pretty benign, or although it could be dangerous, or something like this. The advertisers aren't per se saying, I want to put this on something that might inspire a shooter or anything else. They're not saying that, but they're instead targeting, well, this thing had 20 million views. Yeah, I want to be in front of those people that are watching that, and it's not just Taylor Swift and, like I say, extreme athletes. So cutting back on that has definitely eaten in, but very small. This wasn't a huge miss. So I view this as much more of a more or less something that'll be in the rearview mirror very quickly for Alphabet.
Just a hiccup, then, if you will.
Yes, sir. That's what I believe.
Let's go back to the White House. Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney saying that he thinks the trade talks with China will be resolved in a couple of weeks. He's not predicting in which way they'll be resolved, but he thinks within a week or two we should know which way we're headed. What do you make of that?
Well, reading between the lines on that, since he did say, just as you said, that it'll be resolved one way or another, he's basically giving him a deadline, and he's saying, or setting us up perhaps for, well, nope, that's not going to be good enough, and then China will sort of panic and try to get something that is good enough in front of the trade negotiators. So I think it's a way that Mulvaney's trying to put a little more leverage to work on the Chinese, who really desperately do want a deal now, and especially given that some of their numbers, even just today, were once again softer despite the aggressive spending that they've put through, both as far as taxes and taking down the levels of capital that banks need to carry on their books over in China.
All right, you tell me about that a little bit, because you watch it much more closely. Are the tariffs and is this trade war having a positive impact for the U.S.?
overall, it has not been a positive for the U.S., but we're lucky enough that the Chinese, in order to keep moving materials and things, have basically had to cut the prices of them because of the increase of the tariff. Otherwise, U.S. consumers wouldn't buy it. And quite frankly, I think we're going to see a lot of the cross-border trades, us to Brazil, for instance, a lot of the soybeans that would have rotted had they just stayed in bins and so forth, were sold to Brazil, which then in turn sold them to China. So, you know, there are ways around this right. for both sides, for China and the U.S., but thus far it has not been a positive for either country, but U.S. has a much stronger economy than China does, so it hasn't impacted us as much.
We like to watch McDonald's, and Eric Rung said in the newsroom that bacon helped McDonald's in the first quarter. Their stock is up today, right after they posted a revenue that topped analysts' expectations. They said it was their bacon promo, I think it was in January one day, that gave them a big boost. And bacon gives us all a boost, John.
It always does give
always
me a
does,
boost.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think Mr. Easterbrook, the CEO over there at McDonald's, from the day he came aboard, has done a fabulous job. They've had missteps here and there. They've been very small missteps. And I think right now, with the numbers that they just delivered today, it's showing how strong the earnings power is, even with the U.S. dollar being relatively strong, which in many cases does hurt for international sales. It certainly hasn't hurt lately.
We've seen more than half of the S&P 500 companies report now in this earnings season, and of those, 77% have come in better than expectations. I just wonder what you make of that number, because I brought this up with you before, and I may well be wrong, but I thought people were expecting a little bleaker look this first quarter.
Yeah, there was also a lot of talk of the potential that we'd see the beginnings of a recession. That hasn't come to pass, although we have seen inflation numbers that are softer than the Fed would like, in particular the readings from last Friday, which encouraged people that are looking for rates to stay lower for longer or even a rate cut. I'm not in the camp that's looking for a rate cut, not at this time, but I think the numbers have been relatively soft as far as the overall inflation numbers. But as you say, the earnings numbers have been robust. There's very few misses in there.
All right. What are you looking at today, John?
I'm looking at Apple. That stock, of course, it sagged about 2% today. People worried again after this furious run from $141 a share in January, when Tim Cook basically told the faithful that he was going to announce their cost cutting to address the iPhone sales in China, as well as the potential that their numbers needed to be ratcheted down. Since then, we've basically gone $60 to the upside, so called a little more than 30% to the upside for Apple from just January. Earnings are tonight after the bell. They, of course, won't break out certain numbers anymore, so the street's gotten used to that, though, because now it's a year since they have not given those numbers in a breakout fashion. So I think overall, the softness today is just people not so much nervous, but some people taking some profits and the others waiting till the end of the day to decide if they want to go on the bull or bear side. We're bullish on Apple right now.
That is John Najarian. You can watch him on the Halftime Report on CNBC. Of course, follow him on Twitter as well, at John Najarian. Nice to talk to you, friend.
Thank you very much, Steve. Take care.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Bart, it was on these streets, the streets of Chicago, in 1936 when Carl Meyer first introduced the Wienermobile. That's right. It goes back to 1936, and he used to have people drive Wienermobiles around the city of Chicago to create interest in the hot dogs. They went away for a time, but they have returned, I think, in the mid to late 80s, and now we are just saturated with Wienermobiles all over the country. We have a couple of the drivers on the phone line with us now, Haley Rosman and Kyle Edwards. Welcome both to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Okay, so we'll start with Haley. Haley, you are, generally these jobs go to college students, right? Are you a college student?
Well, Kyle and I both just graduated from college. So we graduated in May and started our job in June 2018. And it's a one-year position. So we've got about a month left before the next 12 lucky dogs get to start their term.
Okay, we're going to do puns all the way through this. Haley, just warn me now.
Yes. Okay, I'm warning you now.
Is that part of the job requirement that you have to have hot dog puns?
Frankly, it's part of it, but, they don't always meet the expectations that everyone requires, but, yeah. we relish a shot to use them.
I'm really regretting this already. Okay, did you guys go to the same university?
No, I attended the University of Missouri, and Haley went to the University of Wisconsin. Both are actually schools that Oscar Mayer takes Wienermobiles to around mid-February every year, looking for college seniors who want to interview and apply to drive the Wienermobile for a year.
And Haley, this is a job that is available to young adults, right? If they want to do this, what is it? A marketing internship? An advertising? How would you describe the job when it comes to job skills and seeking further employment?
Well, people of any background are welcome to apply. All you need is a bachelor's degree, but we like to call it a mobile public relations firm.
Yeah, right.
So we're driving around working with the media and sharing our whereabouts so that our fans can come out, check out the Wienermobile, have a great time, and of course get their very own Wiener whistle.
Kyle, you guys are going to be in Chicago next week?
No, we're actually going to be in the Chicago area later this week.
Oh, okay.
I know Haley's got a few. We got some events coming up in the area that I know Haley's more well-versed on.
Yeah. So our events, we have one on Saturday. It's from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. at the Fair Play Foods on 2200 Southwestern, Chicago, Illinois. And then on Sunday, we've got a great event for kids, families, people of all ages. It's the Glenview Touch a Truck Family Festival, and that's at the Cole Children's Museum in Glenview, Illinois.
Ah, I've been to that one. Okay, so Kyle, are you single?
Yes.
You didn't expect that question, did you? I'm just wondering.
We've heard some wild ones.
I'm just wondering in social situations. I mean, do you lead with the fact that you drive the Wienermobile, or does that come out later?
Yeah. So it's the Wienermobile is a good opportunity to make new friends because most cities we go to is usually a place we don't know anyone at. So especially college towns, it's been fun riding around, getting to know people. And one of the perks is this is our personal vehicle. So anywhere you want to go, you take the Wienermobile, and you can drive around anyone you want.
Okay,
so it's a great chance to...
Haley, do you take the Wienermobile on the interstate?
Oh, we sure do. We can definitely haul buns. We, go highway speeds and make miles of smiles as everywhere we go.
Okay, what's the weirdest situation or the weirdest sort of occurrence that you've had in your year of driving the Wienermobile?
Nothing's quite like it. Honestly, not as weird as you'd think.
Really, you're driving Wienermobiles around the country. Nothing weird has happened to you?
No, I just say weird's the right word. I just say like every day there's something crazy that happens. Like a couple of days ago, I was talking with someone, and they were saying how in 1960, their uncle. It came into town, and they were able to drive around in it,
yeah.
And we were able to make that happen again.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just a fun memory. Yeah, it's just kind of wild. So one guy, before he died, he said, all I want to do is listen to Pink Floyd. This was in North Dakota in the Wienermobile, and it was like, yeah, hop on in, and we just cruised down the highway.
You didn't let him drive, right?
No,
okay,
absolutely
right.
Not.
I think he's bringing more to the party than you could handle, I think.
Right.
You know what I like, though, and just reading about the history, it is interesting because, it started with the Wienermobile driving around Chicago to raise awareness, and they went away in the mid-70s because it was all about TV, and Oscar Mayer was advertising on TV. Now, you guys are back in 2019. I mean, they've been back for 20 years or so. But now it's social media, and you guys are using it's the newest medium, if you will, that Oscar Mayer and Kraft are using in order to sell their product.
Yeah, it's really awesome, Steve, that we get to be able to use those new channels, such as social media, to still keep around the tradition of the Wienermobile that, as you said, dates back to 1936. As hot doggers, we actually are a lot, we're empowered and encouraged to take as many photos and videos of the people we meet,
right.
The great places we visit, and, help share that with Oscar Mayer so that can be spread all over the social media channels. So on Instagram, Oscar Mayer is just at Oscar Mayer, and you can see all of the Wienermobile, like where we've gone, people we've met, and all sorts of great stories. And then we're also on Twitter, and that's at Wienermobile. So people can definitely catch up with us on those great social media channels as
I
well.
I told you I would hang up on you if there were too many, and that was it. That was it. Haley Rosman and Kyle Edwards. Up. What do you guys call brand ambassadors, wiener drivers? Thanks for joining us today.
We're hot doggers.
Hot doggers. Enjoy the year final month, will you?
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Eric Rung. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. We're sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. All right, I don't think there are any unmanned vehicles driving around the streets of Chicago, maybe unmanned Wienermobiles today, but there's a big meeting going on in the city, the Association of Unmanned Vehicle Systems International, and we'll talk to the president of that org. I think they were going to announce something today about cooperation with airports, so we'll check in with them a little bit later in the program. Right now, we say hello to Seamus Toomey, the editor-in-chief of Block Club Chicago, comes by from time to time. Welcome back. I'm going to turn your microphone on so we can hear you. All right, so what's the first question I always ask you?
Who are you?
No, how's business? Because, you know, all of us in media want, you know, organizations like yours to survive and thrive. Block Club Chicago is a great way to keep up to date on what's happening, not just in city center, but in the neighborhoods of the city. A year under your belt?
It's going to be June 13th will be our one-year anniversary. I'm happy to say we are doing great.
Yeah, I love that.
People are subscribing to us. They're supporting us. They're sending us tips. They're reading us. They're sharing our stories. It's fantastic. Foundations have been giving us some money so we can hire more reporters. So we can always use more, though.
You know, right. And, what editor couldn't use more reporters?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, this is a business show, and you're in a tricky business. We're in a tricky business, and it's good to see that the subscribers are coming through, because it is a way to get, like, some of these stories I want to talk to you about, the beekeepers, and I think it's in Avondale. They're stories that you're not going to find in the big dailies, by and large, right?
Right. You really need people on the street that can dig these things up or know about a great local business. And those people cost money. I mean, you can't, you know, reporters don't work for free, or they
right.
shouldn't. And so it's expensive, but these are the stories that sort of make a neighborhood tick. So.
Okay, so let's go to Avondale. This there's a story here about Belmont Feed and Seed. Margaret Tazzioli wrote it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I had no idea. This is one of those stories. So this place up on the northwest side where you can go and buy your bees for the summer?
Exactly. Like, if you drove by it, you probably had no idea what it was.
Right.
If it's even open. It's very nondescript storefront. But what it is it's a little bit of everything, especially bees. This time of year is when they get their honeybees get shipped in from California on a truck. They're getting 2 million of them, and they're coming tomorrow.
Wow, so tomorrow they're arriving.
Yeah, so they're in Iowa right now or somewhere.
I don't know if you ever ran across one of my editor at the Tribune was Ross Wordland. Who he posted on social media, he's got a beekeeper. Apparently, he's going to keep bees this year. And that's it's kind of like a big thing.
It's a very big thing. I think the number of registered beehives in Cook County has quadrupled. And you got to imagine, like, you know, there's probably billions of unregistered ones knowing,
right.
you know, it's Cook County.
Okay, so this truck pulls up filled with bees, or what happens tomorrow?
People have placed their pre-orders for them. You got to pre-order bees, and they show up. And
well, who knew, right?
Who knew? Yeah. And the thing that caught my eye the most about this story was they said when they open up the truck door, the heat coming off of these 2 million bees buzzing around is just unbelievable, and the smell as well. And if it's a sunny, hot day, the bees are nice and calm. But if it's like outside right now where it's stormy and lousy, they get a little aggravated and it's a little bit worse. So
they'll probably be a little aggravated tomorrow.
So it's right. It's at 3036 West Belmont. So be careful. There are 2 million angry bees.
And the bees, do the individual beekeepers go there and pick up their bees? So is it like picking up kids from day camp? Tomorrow there'll be a long line? Or
exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. I don't know if there's cones out there or what. But yeah, they pick up their individual order. They all come boxed up, and the owners, Lydia and Dan Andronich, who opened the store, actually they took over the store 20 years ago, they'll be there to teach people how to set up their hives.
Great, and they do this all year, right? They have clinics and things like that.
Exactly, and they do a little bit of everything. They sell chickens, they sell chicken feed, they sell birds. They say when kids come in there on the weekends, it's like a petting zoo for kids.
But I'm interested as well that this couple got into it because the husband was into pigeon racing, And pigeon, and so that was the place where you'd go buy your pigeons until Chicago outlawed that.
Right, and all of a sudden they were out of business, so right. they we were going to have to pivot to something else. So they went to pot-bellied pigs and to birds and to bees eventually, and they're hanging in there. Their son runs the shop now, but the parents are still there answering every question that anyone has.
I love the story, so check that out if you're up in Avondale. Belmont Feed and Seed tomorrow. There'll be quite a buzz around there. We both did it. We both are above that. We shouldn't have done it.
I kept it out of the headline. I held back as I know that stuff doesn't click very well.
Another business story has to do with Planet Fitness this summer, and that, so I don't know if this is about them getting customers or getting good PR, but they're opening their doors to teenagers.
Yeah, this was pretty remarkable when we heard about this. When Planet Fitness, they said anyone between 15 and 18 can basically work out for free all summer. It starts May 15th through September 1.
So. And you just go sign up, and if you're under 18, I would imagine you have to have an adult sign for you, but then you can go unaccompanied.
Exactly. If you're under 18, you got to bring a parent or guardian in to sign all the papers. But yeah, it's great. We'll see how many take them up on it. Hopefully not too many at my Planet Fitness.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I don't want to share my gym with free going teenagers. What is this for? They said it's to give teens a safe place to work out. So I take them at their word, but it's nice PR. I don't know that they'll convert many customers, maybe.
Yeah, you know, they have so many customers, and so many of their customers don't show up.
Right.
So I think it's a way to get some brand loyalty from this new group of folks that, hey, remember when I was in high school, we could all work out for free. But, you know, yeah, they're building it as a way for kids to, you know, have a place to work out in the summer and go with their parents. It seems like a good idea.
Seamus Toomey is the editor-in-chief at Block Club Chicago. Well, which one is your Planet Fitness so that we can send people there and build the crowd?
It's the one on, it used to be a Dominick's, because everything used to be a Dominick's. It's actually on Lincolnwood, right by Westridge.
Thanks for coming by. Thanks for running the shop there. And tell me again, how do people find more information about Block Club?
BlockClubChicago.org. You can also sign up for our newsletter, follow us on Facebook, anywhere. We're everywhere. Subscribe.
Nice to see you, Seamus.
Thanks for having me.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. One of the big urban problems that's trying to be solved every day is something called the last mile. If you haven't heard of it, it's the distance still to be traveled from your train stop, bus stop, or shuttle to your final destination. You've likely already seen a lot of the temporary solutions, whether you know it or not. Those electric scooters and bike sharing are just a couple examples. But what about reverse commuters? Mary Wisniewski in the Tribune detailed the challenge that Chicagoans who work in the burbs don't have divvy bikes and bird scooters all around the sleepy suburb train stations to get to the work. So ride sharing is the way to go. I think it's safe to say at the moment, having a mix of options works best depending on your situation. And if your business situation is in need for some inspiration, I got you, fam. May 1st, M-Hub, Fireside Chat with Dr. Joe DeSimone. He's the CEO of Carbon Inc. and is in town from Silicon Valley to hear your thoughts and explain how to get through in the business scene. This guy's also just wicked smart. I mean, he has over 200 patents. Check it out at mhubchicago.com. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Steve Alexander. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGNR. You remember, it wasn't too long ago, there were stories that Gatwick Airport in London was shut down. It happened a couple of times because of drones flying nearby. Of course, that is troublesome for the airlines and certainly passengers, and also for drone operators who want a chance to continue their habit or their business and not have suffer a crackdown because of a few numbskulls near the airports. There's a big meeting going on in Chicago this week. The Association of Unmanned Vehicle Systems International is here. They call it AUVSI Exponential 2019. And the president of that group is Brian Wynn. He's on the phone line. Brian, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Hey, thanks. Great to be here in Chicago, Steve.
I know you just addressed the group right earlier this morning. What's your message?
A lot of great work to be done, a great story to tell. We are using this technology to increase value in many businesses and insurance and construction and oil and gas, et cetera. And you know, we've got some challenges like all new technologies, so we need to We need to work together as a community and be good neighbors.
And we're talking predominantly, we're talking about drones, correct?
We are. Unmanned systems covers all the domains, so we also have we do work on the in the ground domain with ground robots and automated vehicles, and also things in the maritime domain. But yes, we can talk about drones for quite a while.
Private use of drones, let's do private sort of recreational use, does that continue to grow, or have you sort of plateaued?
No, I think it's continuing to grow, and some people own drones and do both, they fly for fun as well as use it for commercial purposes. So, these are very capable platforms and aircraft, frankly, they can be used for all manner of things. But no, they continue to be popular, and the popularity is growing.
I would imagine that there are more recreational drone users than there are business drone users, or am I incorrect there?
No, you're absolutely right. We've registered over the course of the last year or so, or I think to date, we've registered 1.3 million drones, and 316 of those are registered for commercial use. The vast majority out there are still for recreational use.
Okay, and so today there was an agreement announced with your organization and Airports Council International North America, and it has to do, right, with drones around airports. Explain that for me.
Yeah, there have been some celebrated incidents. You mentioned what happened at Gatwick during the holidays, and at that point, my good friend Kevin Burke, who runs Airports Council International North America, and I got on the phone and said, hey, we need to work together on this. Obviously, the folks that I represent are largely commercial operators. They're certificated by the FAA. They have to pass a knowledge base test, and they know where they're flying. They know not to fly near airports or on airport property without authorization. So, the chances are that whoever caused this problem either didn't know where they were flying, or they deliberately flew in a way that was disruptive to the airport. And we want to get after that as quickly as we can. I mean, these are aircraft; they're very capable. And obviously, they caused a lot of havoc in that instance. When we want to make sure that we've got a playbook for addressing that if it happens happens again.
Brian, tell me what would be in the playbook: ways to get them out of the ground, ways to out of the air, ways to educate the operators, or ways for the airlines to recognize a threat and avoid that.
Certainly, all of those things ultimately, and we've empaneled Blue Ribbon Task Force, mainly former government officials, some of them folks like Michael Huerta, former FAA administrator,
right, sure.
And the heads of some major airports, Huntley Lawrence, who runs the New York airports, Deborah Flint, who runs LAX, for example, in Los Angeles. And those folks are going to put their heads together and figure out, okay, what's the best way to work with industry to track, if need be, to interdict. And the group that I run basically incorporates all of those technologies. If you think about the internet, the early days of the internet, it sort of grew in usage,
right.
And eventually we realized, hey, we need antivirus software. We need to protect our networks with firewalls. Our industry will bring that complete solution, not just to airports, but also to sporting events and prisons and anywhere else where we don't want drones flying.
Ryan Wynn is the president and CEO of the Association for Unmanned Vehicle Systems International, meeting in Chicago this week. Brian, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it, and I wish you great success with this endeavor.
Thank you, Steve.